I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Have just arrived from New York, where we had a powerful time. Well, I'm just wondering where everybody went. But we're back, amen. And I was thinking that today, before I share with you for a short time, it would be great to hear some of the testimonies, especially from those who went to the camp for the first time. And some of you have never been to a camp before, and this was your first time. And so I just want to hear from you, and I'm sure others do also. Just a testimony from your experience and encounter at the camp. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So we're going to start with Tina. Tina, would you come and grab one of those microphones and share with us what your experience was at this camp?
Okay.
In just 2-3 minutes.
Just 2-3 minutes?
Okay. Yes.
Well, first of all, I was happy and overwhelmed to go, you know, and then the Spirit kept telling me that the Lord had something that he wanted to tell me at the camp, just over and over again. He had something to tell me. So one of the things that the bishop had said was, if the Lord tells you to do something, then you should do it. And I was more like a rebel. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. You know, through the years, people would come to me and with their problems and ask for advice, and I would advise them. But the thing was is that they kept coming back. As soon as I would walk in the door from work, they would come wanting to tell me their problems. And I'm like, I just walked in here. I don't want. But that was what the plan that the Lord had for me. There was a reason why people were coming to me with their problems, because actually I was helping them. I didn't think that I was doing much help, but I was actually helping them with their problems. But for that particular calling, I was running from it. I was like, no, I don't want to do it. It's too much. I don't know how to shut somebody up without being rude to them. So L.P. Sarah told me, when you go to school, they'll teach you how to talk to people, to calm them down, or shut them up, rather. So that was one of the things that the Lord spoke to me with. And the second thing was, the bishop said, some people don't know how to have peace. That was another area that I was having problems with, is having peace, learning how to relax. Whenever something came up, I would like, okay, I got to do this, I got to do that. You know, it's like, it kept replaying. If I didn't get it done, it would gnaw at my spirit. And, you know, the Lord would always say, I will never leave nor forsake you. I always had that scripture in mind. But then what I wasn't listening to was that he was saying, rest in the Lord. You know, when you rest in the Lord, you give him all the power. Let him handle it. But the thing was, I wanted things to happen in my time frame, which is like a half a second after it showed up. So the Lord was telling me to have patience and to rest in him.
Wow.
You know, he's my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. So if I let, when I let him do the work, instead of relying on my own strength, things work out for the better anyway. So, and I said, you know, what's for me, I'll have. So I don't have to worry about whether it's a husband, the wrong man or whatever, or a job or whatever. What's for me, I will have. And most likely, it'll come to me. I won't have to go look for it. It'll come to me. Just like how different people came to me and told me, have you ever thought about being a psychiatrist? I'm not going to be a psychiatrist. I'm going to be a counselor. Psychiatrists have to do the medication and all that. I'm just going to do counseling. So my advice to everybody is just to trust in the Lord and to listen to him. Don't be so hyper to do. Just listen to the Lord and rest in the Lord. That's what I got from
Was the camp anything like you thought it would be?
And more.
Really?
Yeah. And more. Everybody was fired up, okay? Everybody was happy to be there. I mean, it was just fulfilling. Fantastic. That's what I got to say.
Right. Powerful. Okay. What about DJ? DJ. DJ, it was your first time at the camp, that camp, right?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us.
Yeah, I really enjoy myself. I love that. I wish you could do it all over again. Okay. It was fantastic. It was supernatural. It was wonderful. One of the things that I really liked about the camp was there was a moment when Bishop Dagg was praying and our eyes were closed, and something occurred to me. Remember when I told you guys I got that money, like over $3,000? He had said something about his first child took 24 hours to, his wife was in labor for 24 hours, and then the second child, within 30 minutes, the baby was born. So, and then when he said that, it reminded me of when I got that $3,000. Before that, I gave a big offering for the first time in my whole entire life. So like maybe like $100 or something like that. But it was something to me because, you know, yeah, I felt it. That's what I'm trying to say. But yeah, I just gave it, and then I never made the connection that and the $3,000 that I got could be connected events until he said that, and I was like, oh wow, like what if that was a reward from God, you know, for my obedience or for, you know, just giving willingly like that. And when he said that, it also reminded me that the first amount that I paid was nothing the second time I did an offering. The second big offering that I did with that $3,000, I mean, the first amount was nothing, just like he was telling us. And so then I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I believe everything he's saying. He's saying something. He's saying, I trust him. I trust the guy. I mean, it's happening in practice. And then that, he was prophesying. He was saying all kinds of stuff. And one of the things that he said was that people are going to tell you, I need you in my life. You're, I can't live without you. That night, it was like 12 a.m. I talked to my good friend. She lives in New Jersey, actually. And she told me that same exact thing, like, I can't live without you. She's like, I'm so glad I have you in my life. And I was like, wow, that's, someone just told that to me. I was like, someone just prophesied that to me. And I thought that was amazing. Yeah. One more thing. So I was so excited about the last day of the camp because he was going to pray for us. And I didn't sleep well. So I woke up at like, I don't remember, like maybe 4:48 or something. I got ready, came outside. I was outside in front of the door at like 5:14. I was the first person there, and it was freezing cold. It was dark by myself. And then I was walking out, and, you know, I was thinking about him telling us, you know, we need to be soul winners and things like this. And I haven't really done that before. I've never talked to someone like, do you know Jesus? None of that. I mean, I've gone with you guys, but I haven't been active in it. So I was walking, and I happened to see a lady I was walking towards. I'm like, should I talk to her? Should I say something? I was like, and then she just started talking to me. She just started saying, you started telling me all her issues, you know. It was right across from the casino, and apparently, like, she got a lot of money, but her daughter took most of it and ran off with it, and she has a lot of issues at home and stuff. So we prayed. We prayed, and she accepted Christ into her life. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah, and then I got to the door. I was the first person there, and then a whole bunch of other people started coming, so much so that I lost my spot. So I was like, I better be the first person here today, but it didn't happen. Because after everyone crowded around, they ran inside. I didn't get the seat I wanted. But it just so happened that when Bishop Dagg decided to pray for us, he decided to pick the middle row, which was the row I was in. Great. Yeah. It was so good. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Wow. See, that was strange, huh?
Yeah.
That he would call
the middle row.
You know, I looked behind me and I saw Maureen there. I just said, this must be for Maureen or something. You know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
So God blessed you at the camp.
A lot.
Wow.
A lot.
Will you attend the next one?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Everyone.
Yes.
Every single one.
Well, what a blessing. Put your hands together for DJ. Daniel is the next person who must share his testimony with us. Yes. Brother Daniel. He was our branch rep. All right.
I just want to say that, I mean, personally for me, I mean, never has 4 days, I mean, done so much in my life before, I mean, before the camp. I mean, it was amazing. I was very, very, very blessed. I mean, from the first day till the last minute, I mean, I was so, so blessed. One of the things Bishop shared in the first session was he said that he gave a number of definitions for what a curse is. And he said that a curse is an appeal to a supernatural power to inflict evil. And then he began to break it down. And then I could see myself in the explanation. Wow. I was like, mercy. He gave so many definitions. And then I was like, as he's giving these definitions and all these cases are showing, I mean, are there answers? And having heard in my life, personally, as a Christian, that there are things that you can do to neutralize curses. Mm. So when we came back in and he gave the title, he said, neutralization of curses. I was like, this is for me. And then he began to share again and he said that one of the ways that you can neutralize a curse is by honoring a man of God. And then also by serving the Lord, working in his house. I mean, he shared many, many, many things. And I personally feel that this camp actually was for me. I don't know about you, but this camp was for me. My life has changed. And I just want to encourage those of us who didn't get the chance to go, make the camp, you know, your highlight, the highlight of your year. Make it the highlight of it. Make sure that whatever you do. I remember Elpak asked me a couple of weeks ago, prior to camp, am I going to go to camp? I said, nothing I'm doing would prevent me from going to camp. Because I know that that's where God is going to meet me. That's where God is going to impact my life. And I went with that expectation and hunger. And I believe that my life has completely changed. So, I mean, Pastor Charles just mentioned that the camp is available. They just uploaded it. I mean, just make sure that I'm just listening to it. I mean, chew it until it becomes part of your spirit and of your body. That's my word of advice.
Amen. Wow. Daniel is running away before I can ask him a question. What a blessing. Amen. Maureen, did you want to share with us too? Why not? Why not? Especially because your role was called first for prayers. Wow, your role was called first.
Oh, yes, it was. So, you know, I'll probably cry in the middle of this because it was just... It was life-changing. I've been for so many camps. And each time I come out, I feel so transformed and so impacted by this one. And I've lost my voice, so this doesn't help. But, you know, words can't describe it. You had to have been there to experience it. Like Daniel said, he thought it was for him. I thought it was personally for me. All the different things that had been on my mind that I've been thinking about, struggling with, wondering about, some of them for years, some of them for maybe months or weeks. It was like every time Bishop opened his mouth to talk about another topic, it was like an answer to something I had been talking to God or asking God about. I mean, it was like tailor-made for so many different areas of my life. Like I heard DJ a few minutes ago saying, it was like it touched on so many things. So if you had questions about life, career, finances, marriage, ministry, you name it, everything was touched upon. And I've just been, you know, before we went, we were here and we were talking about a few weeks ago for Shepherd's Meeting, our experiences. And I got up and I said that I felt very strongly in my heart that if you go for this camp, weeks later, months later, even years later, you're going to have experiences that you will be able to connect back to that camp. You're going to be able to say, this is happening because of that camp. I don't know if any of you remember that. I didn't know what the topic, what the theme of camp was going to be. I didn't know anything. But having gone before, it was just something I felt strongly. And it was so confirmed. I mean, to the point where now, if you could roll the clock back and say, Maureen, I'll give you $100 million not to go. Maureen, I'll give you, you know, the biggest job in the world with real estate, with this, with this, with that, you know, but the timing is going to coincide with camp, so don't go. There's nothing in this world looking back that you could have offered me that would have made me say no, because God knows what we need. And he has given us a father to come and deliver that to us. I mean, it was so amazing that Bishop said he wasn't planning on having a winter camp. He wasn't planning on even having this particular theme when he decided that he would come. But God said, no, 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 this is what my children need. And indeed, like, there's no one you'll talk to that'll say that, it was okay, or it wasn't really what I wanted. Nothing. So don't ever take it for granted. You know, when we say that, avail yourself to the teachings in the house, avail yourself to the camp meetings, avail yourself to the bishop and what he has. It's life-changing. It absolutely, absolutely is life-changing. So, you know, if you didn't get the chance to go, the message will be out. But I've realized that there's a difference. There are ways you can listen to a message and be impacted. So prepare your heart in a certain way. Give yourself time. Like, there was a camp that I had missed. And when I got the message, I put aside like a whole weekend. I said, I'm going to have my personal camp. I wanted to be there so badly, and for so many complications, couldn't. And so I had my personal camp. And I'm still sure that it wasn't the same as being there, because when the anointing is on the place and the anointing is released, it's just different. But God is merciful, and God still wants you to have what he has for you. So soak it in, and don't do it casually. Make time, dedicate yourself, prepare your heart, and I believe that he'll give you what you need as well. Amen.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Wow. You know, sometimes the experiences are so personal. They're so intimate, so deep. You just can't articulate it in a way that makes sense to everyone. You see what I'm saying? But what's important is that you do know that God has touched you. And God has touched you in a place where no human being can reach. God has touched you in a way that you know only God can touch you. You see what I'm saying? So it's that kind of experience I believe Maureen is having, you know. And don't worry about crying. Crying is something God gave to us to be able to say more than our words can, you know. It's when you get to the point where words cannot carry it further, but there's still stuff inside, then crying is the way you show it, right? So that's a blessing. Amen. Right, who else? Salam is asking to share, so why not? Oh, and there's Frank too. All right, so why don't we hear from Salam first? I see you're wearing your camp t-shirt. Actually, it's really nice.
Anyway, mine was a lesson that God taught me regarding with my wife. You know, anytime she goes to work and come back, because she's always on her feet, for long hours, she comes and she's complaining about her feet. I always think she's making it up or stuff like that. And sometimes I try to understand her, but at the camp, I was part of the video team, and we were doing the video, and I was on my feet for 3, 4, 5 hours. I think the night before the last day, when I was walking home, I was walking on my toes. Yes. And then because of the way she explains to me that her legs are feeling, I could feel like someone is using a needle and, like, to poke my heels.
Yeah, okay.
My two heels, and it was painful. And I started thinking, So this is what my wife has been feeling. Anytime she talks about it, I take it for granted, or I try to pretend as if I understand, or like, I understand, but I called and I told her, "I please forgive me." That now I know what
she
is.
I get it now.
So I'm sorry.
Wow, what a blessing. God has creative ways of reaching people. Amen. And then Frank is the last one. Frank. Wow.
Amen. Yeah, I was also so blessed. Sister Maureen said, there were a lot of topics that were raised and tackled, and it's like every area of your life will have an experience or will be touched on, so you'll be blessed. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. I think I will start from the verse that Apostle has given to us that we've been, you know, talking about all this time around, from Isaiah 68, wow, verse 5, which says that do not touch it, for there is a blessing. Do not destroy it. Yeah, I said, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it. Amen. And then through the camp, I realized that, you know, not just our lives, but there are so many things in the church, and there are so many activities that there are blessings in them that we must not joke with. We must not try to destroy them. Amen. Yeah, so Bishop mentioned, you know, tithing, soul winning, even your presence in church every Sunday to serve God. These are simple, simple things that there are blessings in them that we must not destroy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I was so blessed. You know, there's so many things that we can't just say everything right now. Amen. And then one thing that I took personally, you know, I spoke to my wife yesterday night and then this morning about something. We have come to understand that a curse is a kind of force that someone is trying to evoke, you know, on you in order to destroy you. But similarly, we have also got blessings that our pastors have also, you know, prophesied on us. They have, you know, proclaimed on us. Amen. And so it's our right to also enforce those prophecies that have been prophesied on us. Amen. You know, Bishop specifically mentioned the blessing of Deuteronomy 28 that is normally declared on you when you are getting married. So I told my wife that, Charlie, this thing, we are taking it serious now. We are taking it serious. That's our blessing. So we would confess it. We are making sure that just as someone will evoke a curse on you, we are also revoking God's blessings on us, as much as has been prophesied by our pastors unto us. Amen.
So shall it be. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I was also blessed. Amen. It was a really powerful time for me, you know, and in many, many ways. And what I just want to say to you this morning is that we need to get to the place where we truly believe in these encounters with the man of God, or with the prophet for that matter. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, the Bible says, and they rose up, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, it says, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, right? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Can you see that? And then, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Hallelujah. Yeah. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Hallelujah. Now, it would appear from that verse that God is saying two things. That in order for you to experience the fullness of what God has for you in him, you're going to have to believe first in God. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, because he that comes to God must believe that he is. Do you see? Hebrews, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, anyone who comes to God, anyone who approaches God, must believe that he is. You see what I'm saying? You must believe that God exists. So, you know, people who go to God asking God to prove to them that he exists, you know, usually don't get much out of him, because the condition is for you to believe that he exists. Hallelujah. This is because God has already provided ample evidence outside his presence to make you actually believe that he is. There's a lot that speaks about God. The Bible says God is described by his creation. The things that God has done by themselves speak to his existence. Do you see what I'm saying? There is no human being who does not think that everything came from somewhere. It is just that we do not all think they came from the same source. But everybody can see that something or everything around must point to some source. Do you understand? Some choose to attribute it to a Big Bang. Some choose to attribute it to evolution. And others, I would say a majority, attribute it to some supreme being, you know, and some creator or someone who seems to have put everything together. So God does not need to explain himself to anyone. Hallelujah. Amen. God says that if you come to him, then you must believe that he is. He exists. Hallelujah. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So God wants us to believe in him when we approach him. But now back to the verse we're reading, 2 Chronicles. It says, you must believe in the Lord your God. But there is the second step, which is to believe his prophets. See, now I think that this second part is where most of us fall short. This is where, or this is the thing that makes a lot of people not receive much from God. They believe in God, but they do not believe his prophets. There is not a whole lot, at this stage of your Christian life, there is not a whole lot that will fight or rise up against your faith in God. There's not a whole lot that will challenge you mentally for what you believe in God and who you think God is. The fight you're going to have is how much faith you have in his prophets. Do you see? Because that's where you're going to have a lot of fights. That's when you're going to deal with the prophet's humanity. That's when you're going to deal with knowing his background. That's when you're going to deal with knowing his brothers and sisters. That's when you're going to deal with even knowing who he used to be before. Do you see what I'm saying? Because there are people that God would use today, some of whom were drug dealers before, drug addicts before, all sorts of, you know, things in their past. and yet God will pick them up and try to use them. And you're going to have to be able to overcome what you know about them in order to reach what God would have for you through them. Do you see what I'm saying? So believing in the Lord your God, he says, so shall you be established. But believing his prophets is what launches you into prosperity and into many of the blessings that God has for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And so I'm sharing this because we have just come from a camp meeting with so many proclamations having been made over us, you know, and not just teaching, but declarations. Do you understand? Words spoken over you, which you must believe beyond your belief in God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes. It's not enough to believe God can do it, but you need to believe in the person God is using to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And actually, that second one seems to be a greater determinant of whether you will have what God has for you than not. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? You see, I'm just thinking, you know, I'm told Jonathan has just arrived at the airport. You know, I'm not sure how he's getting here, if he's coming here. But imagine that we sent someone to give him a ride. Say Jonathan calls and believes that if he asked us for a ride, we would get him over here. So he will call and believe. Then I send someone to go pick Jonathan up. I've done my part. Do you understand? Now the person gets to the airport, looks for Jonathan and says, Apostle Joel says I should come for you. And Jonathan does not believe it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And I can understand how he may not believe it because we live in strange times. Do you understand? Whoever is saying that he's been sent to come for him could be a kidnapper, could be anyone, could be some stranger, could be so many things. And I'm saying that you have to fight beyond all those possibilities to be able to get hold of what has been sent to you in order for you to experience it. So you may see that Jonathan may not experience that ride to this place. Not because I didn't send it, but because he didn't believe the one I sent. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's not enough to believe in God. And I know many of us here do not have that problem. We do not have a problem of believing in God. We do believe in God. The problem we have is whether we will believe his prophets. Amen. Amen. Whether we believe his prophets. It says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. And throughout the Bible, you see that the Lord seems to be making an effort trying to get people to believe in his prophets. Hallelujah. And the reason is that God will always use a man. God will always use a man. Do you understand? God will always use someone even to declare the things that he would want to do for you. He would need to use someone to declare those things over your life. There's an interesting verse right here in Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. He said, and I sought for a man among them that he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Can you see that? Verse 31. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Hallelujah. Now you can see that a human being who stands between God and the people God wants to reach or do something for is very important to the Lord. So he's saying here that I was looking for someone. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. He was looking for somebody who would stand between him and the land. And if he found someone, then he would not destroy the land. And he said he didn't find anybody. Because of that, you know, he said, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. So he poured judgment upon the people because he couldn't find a human being. So you can see how important a human being is, you know, even for averting God's judgment and for sort of moving things out of the way and bringing or allowing a blessing or a certain blessing to come upon people. Hallelujah. So you can see we cannot do without a man. We cannot do it without a man. God always would use somebody, and that is why he needs you to believe not only in him, but to believe also in the person that he chooses to use to reach out to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? John chapter 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Can you see that? He says, you believe in God. But now, he says, believe also in me. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus was preaching and teaching among people who seemed to have no problem believing in God. To that crowd, God was an old friend. They knew him as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. It was a culture that worshipped and believed in God. They had priests for generations. They had all sorts of people who did all sorts of things in relation to God. Do you understand? Now, here was standing before them a human being called Jesus Christ. Someone who had just risen up among them. Someone who had lived in the neighborhood at some point. Someone who had even worked as the local carpenter. You know, a lot of people in the town had their beds either made or delivered, at least, by this guy. Do you understand? Suddenly, this man had started to speak to them the words of life. God has started reaching out to them through this man, you know. And Jesus said to them, you believe in God, and I know you don't have any problem, but do you believe also in me? Because if you don't believe in me, it would tend to cancel out what believing in God will bring to you or will do for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Right? And so he said, you believe in God. That's good. But believe also in me. Believe also in me. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to believe the words of the prophet or the man of God that God has sent to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm saying that so many declarations have been made. So many prophecies have come forth. So much preaching and teaching has gone forth. You need to believe them, literally. Amen. You need to believe that whatever was said over you is what God is saying over you and is what will be. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to believe the prayers that were prayed over you. You need to believe the confessions. You need to believe the declarations. You need to believe them. Believe them literally that the man said it. That must be it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You must believe it. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. Hallelujah. He said, you kill the prophets and you stone those who are sent unto thee. So one of the people said, sharing the testimony, mentioned how that Bishop was not even intending to have a winter camp. Do you see? And how the Lord spoke to him to go have a winter camp. Actually, that's the only reason why we went that far to Niagara, because we had to go to a place where we can catch the winter. You know, you can imagine my surprise when I flew back to LA and found out that it was like 78 degrees when I got here. You know, this would have been a summer camp here. If we had had the camp here, it would have been summer camp. You couldn't call it a winter camp. So we actually had to go chase the winter and find it somewhere, you know. I mean, only God saved us. We would have had to enter Canada to find the winter. But God was gracious. You know, we caught it right at the border. And just before we left, it snowed, right? So that we can have a true winter camp, right? But somebody mentioned how Bishop said he wasn't even planning to have a winter camp. And also that even when he decided to have a camp, that he wasn't even going to speak about blessings or speak about curses for that matter. But that's what. So why can't we then just believe that God sent him to you? Literally. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, you have to believe it. And when you read the Bible, you will see that it's not even uncommon that God will send someone somewhere because of one person. Even just one person. That God will send someone somewhere. I think readily of the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And how that Philip was going somewhere and the Lord told him, go over here. Go to this place, go to this street, because there is this man driving up that road there, and go join yourself to him. And then Philip goes there. It's in Acts chapter 8. You all know the story. And in the end, it leads to the man's conversion. Then the Bible says right after that conversion, Philip was just carried out of the town and went to some place, which means that the only reason why Philip went there was because of that man. You know, to God, his people are so important. God doesn't mind sending someone all the way up here to Niagara just because of you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Just because of you. Only you. Just you. You only. God will organize a meeting, bring everybody together just to speak a word for you. Hallelujah. So even for those of you who were not able to attend the camp, what you have to do is to believe that God sent a word here for you. Do you understand? And through the magic of technology, you know, the word is preserved. Technology today is like a refrigerator. It is able to refrigerate the anointing and make it available at a later time to someone who was not there when it was first served. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So you were not there when it was served. But you can come and eat it later and still experience the same blessing, because the word of God is not restricted by time and prophecy is not restricted by time. The words of a prophet are not restricted by time. Otherwise, I couldn't read this scripture to you, because this scripture occurred a long time ago. But I'm reading it to you now, and if you believe it, you will experience today what it was meant to bring up in people at the time it was spoken. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So Jesus said, look, there are people who are sent to you. He said, you stone the prophets, you kill the prophets, and you stone them which are sent to you. That is why God needs us to believe his prophets. Because the words you hear are sent to you. Sent to you. Sent to you. You have to believe it. You know, and then he goes on to say, he said, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not? Then he said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verse 39, he says, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He said, you will not see me. If you want to see me, he said, you will not see me henceforth. You will not see me henceforth until you get into a habit of saying, blessed is he who comes to me in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed is he who comes to me in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes to me because of God. Hallelujah. Now, for many of you here, I'm sure it is true that Bishop Dagg is not your personal friend. He's not your cousin. He's not your brother. He didn't come here other than come to you in the name of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't come here. He has no business here, actually. And you can see, we literally flew in here and then flew out. You know, no time for anything else. Just came to deliver the word of God and then just left after that. You have to believe that he came for you. That God sent him for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to believe that God sent him for you. And that is why you need to go back, find the message, whether you attended the camp or not. Even for those of you who attended the camp, you know, I have come to see, even I heard the other day someone saying something about something Bishop said in the camp. And I was wondering, did he say that? Do you see? Even on our way to church this morning, we were talking about Ida and a song. And then the other people in the car were saying that Ida sang this song first. And I was going to argue and say, no, it's not true. Because I don't even remember Ida singing that song. It's just that it's not a very useful argument. So I just decided to believe them. You know, sometimes you must choose not to be right. Because being right is overrated, isn't it? Yeah. So I just decided, let it be. But honestly and truthfully, I do not remember Ida singing that song at all. And I was sitting right there, front row. Do you see what I'm saying? So if I can't remember a song, you can imagine how much else I do not remember. That is the reason why you need to go back and sit down with the message and hear it again and let the word of God be established. The Bible says that the word of God is established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. That means you need to hear something multiple times for that thing to be established. Hallelujah. Without that, you're just casually acquainted with what was said, but you really do not remember what was said. And if God sent the person for you, then you need to remember what he said. If the person came for you, if the words of prophecy were for you, then you need to remember what was said. Because if you don't remember what you said, that would be very costly. Hallelujah. You need to remember what was said. You need to remember what was prophesied. And you need to be able to bring it home into your heart and connect to it properly by faith. Hallelujah. So he said, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. As we embrace the man of God, as we receive the man of God, we will see God. Amen. See, it may sound weird, you know, and I know that our culture teaches us not to believe in people, just to believe in God. Do you understand? Yeah, just not to believe in people. You must just believe in God. But God has chosen to manifest himself always through people. Because people represent, you know, a watered down, you know, version of God's power and God's presence, you know, which is safe for human handling. Do you understand? It's a little bit like the electric socket in your house. You know, the electric socket represents, you know, thousands and thousands of megawatts of electricity that has been watered down, you know, and brought down to a level where you can relate with safely and still have that power working in your house. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why you have plastic sockets and plastic faces and all those things, because the power of God in its raw state, you cannot handle it. One day Moses said, Lord, I want to see your face. God says, you really want to see my face? You say, yes, I want to see your face. I've been talking to you for a long time. I want to see your face. I want to see your hairstyle. I just want to know, I mean, what's going on. I just want to see you. God said, no, you cannot see me and live. There's no man that can see me and live. Do you understand? There's no man that can handle the presence of God in that way. So God said, come, I'm going to hide you somewhere. So God hid him somewhere. And then he said, "When I'm going to hide you somewhere. And then when I pass, you see my back. Because you can't handle seeing me fully. That is the reason why God would always use human beings. But that is also what trips people. That's what makes people take for granted what God has sent to them. Because they feel it's a human being. They feel that's his opinion. That's the worst thing you can say about a preaching or about a message. That's his opinion. He's saying it because he's a man. He's saying it because he's a man. She's saying it because she's a woman. Or he's saying it because he's single. It's because he's single. He's not married. That's why he's talking like that. You know, these are the ways people dismiss prophetic utterances that God would have for them. You recall how Bishop kept talking about how he came here some years ago to speak to people about mortgages and so on. And people sort of took him as a preacher from Ghana, who does not understand American system, and now today they wish they had listened to him. You understand? They did it to Jesus. When Jesus preached, the Bible said some people gathered together and they said to themselves, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter? Are not his brothers so and so? And they just basically reduced him to an ordinary guy in the street. And they missed the word of prophecy. And the Bible says because of that, he could there in that place, he could not do any mighty work. Have you seen that verse before? Maybe we should just read it real quick. I think it's Mark chapter 6 or so. Wow. Are you learning something? Verse 1 of Mark chapter 6. It says, he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? So that was the opinion of one group. Do you see? Exposed to the same preaching, exposed to the same teaching, one group found it astonishing. They just felt this is out of this world. Said this is shocking. This is, you know, one group was talking like Maureen was talking today. They just, you know, one group was literally crying. You know, Maureen, you knew I'll talk about your crying again, right? Yeah. You know, one group was literally crying and just thinking,
and just saying, I mean, it affected me in so many ways. I just wondered, where this man got so much from? How could one person say so much that affects me in so many ways? That's the question they were asking. That's one group. Do you understand? Then another group said, is not this the carpenter? Can you see verse 3? The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own king and in his own house. And verse 5 says, and he could there do no mighty work. You know, it's interesting how the Bible very carefully inserts the word there. You see, to remind us that it wasn't true that he could not do mighty works. It had to do with the place. It was specific to that place. It was the people in that place who didn't experience mighty works from Jesus Christ. He says, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages preaching and teaching. Now, if you back up to chapter 5 and to the last part of chapter 5, you see what is going on in verse 37. He said, well, verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them strictly that no one should know it, and commanded that something be given her to eat. So verse 1 of chapter 6 is following this mega story. Do you understand? That he went out from thence and came now to his own country. So the place where the child was being raised from the dead was obviously different from where he's now being questioned. And people are just asking all sorts of questions. And so he says, in this place, he couldn't do any mighty work. He couldn't do anything like what he had done in the previous town because of their unbelief. Hallelujah. I pray that you'll be full of faith as you approach the word of God that has been brought to us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That you will believe that God indeed sent his prophet to come to you, sent his word your way. He sent us a message to heal and to deliver us. God has always sent people to go bring healing and deliverance to his people. Let me read this last verse with you before I close. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And from verse 7 says, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Can you see that? I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, verse 9, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amen. Amen. Verse 11 says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth Israel out of Egypt? So I just want you to see that God's response to the cry and sorrows of his people is to call someone and send the person to go and bring deliverance to them. Hallelujah. God said, I have seen their cries. I've heard their sorrows. I've heard their crying. I've heard their pain. I'm familiar with what they are going through. And I have decided to help them. First step, Moses, come here. Let me send you to go have a winter camp. Do you understand? He says, Moses, come here. Go over and have a winter camp. Go over and gather the people together, because I've decided for many of them that enough is enough. Enough of the oppression, enough of the suppression, enough of the bondage. He says, enough of the crying. He says, I've seen their sorrows by reason of their taskmasters. The things that make the people cry, I have seen them all. Hallelujah. God knows what makes his people cry. If you ever thought that God doesn't care about you, you lied to yourself. God knows exactly how things are with you. God knows where you are. God knows what you're thinking. God knows how you feel. God knows your pain. And God cares about you. God cares about it. God wants to fix it. God wants to fix it. God wants to fix it. The Bible says, he that spared not his son, but gave him up for our sins, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That God has already paid a higher price concerning you. God has already done more costly things where you are concerned. You understand? It's like somebody standing somewhere and saying, you don't care. You don't care. And their reason for saying you don't care is because they ask for a donut and they think you don't want to give them the donut. Do you understand? And this is someone you just bought a car for, or you just did something like that for. And the person now says that you don't care about them because you wouldn't buy them a donut. Do you understand? So you would be defending yourself and say, I even bought this for this person, or I paid their tuition, or I did this for them. How shall I not buy them a donut? What is a donut? That's how you're going to talk. I can see it on your face. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That is how God feels. He says, he that spared not his son. And it pains God, because, you know, to give up his son was a painful experience. If you don't know it, try to ask Mandisa to sacrifice her son this afternoon for you. See, she's shaking her head already. I said, don't even think about it. He said, if that is what it takes for you to live, then you will die. Do you understand? So God sending his only son was not a joke. And it pains God when people think that he doesn't care about them. God has paid a far more costly price to get you to be where you are in him. And with him also, he will freely give all things. But those things are often experienced when you believe his prophets. You have to believe the person God has sent. You have to believe the words that are spoken. You have to believe the declarations. You have to take them literally. This is for me. This is for me. You have to ignore the humanity of who you are dealing with and see him as an oracle of God. See him as a voice from God. See him as a messenger from God. See him as a prophet from God who has brought a word in season for such a time as this. Who has brought a word that you need to hear in this time of your life. Whether you were there or not. Do you understand? Whether you were there or not. Because the word of God came for all of us. Not everybody was there to hear it, but we all can still hear it. Amen. So I pray that those prophecies we heard will come to pass in our lives as we believe them. Say amen. Say, I believe. Say, God sent his word. I believe it. I receive it. Stand to your feet and let us pray. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads, everybody, and just begin to pray. Say, Lord, thank you for the prophetic words. Thank you for the words of prophecy. Thank you for the words you have sent to me. Thank you for the words you have spoken over my life. Thank you for the words you sent to transform my destiny, to transform my life, to take me forward, to lift me up from prison, and to take me and place me where you have ordained for me to be. Thank you for the steps you have taken to end the suffering, to end the crying, to end the pain, to end the confusion, to end the frustration, and to end the disappointment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive it. I believe it. And I receive it in the name of Jesus. Everybody just pray and just say, Lord, I receive your word. I receive the prophetic word. I receive the words of the prophet as words that were sent for me. Words that were sent to transform my life, to affect my life, to influence my life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive your words. We receive the prophecies. We receive the truths, oh God. We receive the truths, oh God. We do not reject them at all. We receive them because you sent them because of us. You sent your word to heal us and to deliver us from our distractions, from the things that have held us captive, from the curses that have lined up to destroy our lives, that destroyed our parents, that destroyed our parents' parents, that have destroyed generations far back in our families and in our family lines, Lord. Curses that have ruined our siblings, curses that have ruined other people, cousins and other relatives, curses that have arisen in our families and that have proved strong, stronger than anything has overcome them. No education has overcome them. No enlightenment has overcome them. Traveling abroad has not overcome them. Relocations have not overcome them. Marriages have not overcome them. Education has not overcome them. Curses that have hunted and run after us and chased us generation after generation. But you sent your word. You sent your word. You sent your word. And we receive your word. We believe your word. And we see these curses arrested, these curses neutralized in the name of Jesus. We see your word, we see the power in your word neutralizing and taking out the power from these curses, that these curses shall be broken once and for all, and that they will have no power, no power over us, no power over our marriages, no power over our relationships, no power over our health, no power over our future, no power over any blessing that you have released into our lives. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing and for sending your word. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You sent your word to heal us. Because of me. And I just want to say thank you to you. I just want to say thank you, Lord. I just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done in my life. Thank you for the words of prophecy. Thank you for the prophetic word. Thank you. I believe them. I receive them. They are established in me in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Makabolobo shandada malaba barabalaba 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 shatari alababa. Mikolomomo sheke merebebebe sheteli baba. The curse is broken. Is broken. The curse is broken. The curse is broken. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The curse is broken, Lord. Oh, malama balababa, no satara balababa. Imolusha neri balababa, no satara balababa. Presence that we can have such hope, that we can experience such renewal and such revival. We thank you, Lord, for the words you have spoken over our lives. We thank you for the declarations you have sent our way through our prophet. And we thank you for the words of life, life-giving words, life transforming words. Thank you. Thank you. We believe them. We mix them with faith that the words will profit us. We thank you for the broken curses. Thank you that the curses in our lives are neutralized.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Whether they are custom made, whether they are curses we inherited, whatever their origin and source, Lord, we thank you for the power that neutralizes them in the name of Jesus and makes them powerless over our lives. We thank you for your blessing today in Jesus' name. As we close the service, you might be here today and you want to rededicate your life to Christ, or you want to give your life to Jesus. You want your sins to be forgiven. You want to be sure that you leave this place as a child of God, that you will not go back the same way you came in. This is the house of God. This is a place of transformation. It's a place where we encounter God. No one must leave here the same. This is your opportunity right here. So if you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that? You want to rededicate your life to Jesus? or you want to give your life to him, you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life and be Lord over this life. Is there anyone here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Right. Why don't we just say this prayer together then? Let's say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart.
That you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
That only you are Lord.
That only you are Lord.
That there is salvation in no other name.
That there is salvation in no other name.
Except the name of Jesus.
Except the name of Jesus.
I come to you today.
I come to you today.
Just as I am.
Just as I am.
Imperfect as I am.
Imperfect as I am.
Dirty as I am.
Dirty as I am.
I come to you today.
I come to you today.
Because there's nowhere else to go.
Because there's nowhere else to go.
Because there's no one else to go to.
Because there's no one else to go to.
So I come to you, Jesus.
I come to you, Jesus.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse
me. I want to live for you, Jesus.
I want to live for you, Jesus.
I want to be a child of God.
I want to be a child of God.
I want to be a true Christian.
I want to be a true Christian.
So help me, Jesus.
So help me, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
Thank you, Lord, for your blessing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed? Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want us to come to the Lord's table before we sit down. We want to have communion. Amen.
Amen.
So bring one of these to everyone. Pastor Charles, just bring everyone, grab one of these. We're gonna have, yeah, Jason. Said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from the Father and giveth life to the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. So receiving Jesus is receiving the bread of God.
Wow.
Jesus Christ in your life is God's solution to every hunger and every thirst in your life.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm
yes.
saying? So in verse 34, they say unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Evermore give us this bread.
Amen.
We can never have enough Jesus.
Wow.
There is nothing like too much Jesus.
No.
You can never have enough of the bread of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that cometh to me shall never thirst. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today, as we take communion, I want you to see it as a solution to every hunger in any area of your life.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Any area of your life that is craving something, that is requiring something, that is requiring some solution, that is calling for some answer, begin to see that the answer is in your hand today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said he's the bread of life, the bread that gives life. Amen.
Amen.
That means as you eat this bread, life is coming into you.
Amen.
It means this bread is entering your body to challenge anything that seeks to cut short your life.
Yeah.
Anything that curtails life is being challenged by the bread. Because this is the bread of life. This is the bread of life.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Just like we take vitamins to have vitality, we also eat the bread of life to have life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So believe that every sickness, every disease, any imperfection in your body is being cured and is being addressed by the bread of life. In the name of Jesus. Even the smallest things, even the trivial things or things that may seem trivial to you, do you understand? The bread of life is able to give you life. The bread of life will give you life.
Amen.
The bread of life will stop your hair from breaking.
Amen.
Do you understand what
Amen.
I'm saying? The bread of life. I don't know why I felt
I believe
somebody is receiving that
I'm
today.
Receiving that one.
The bread of life will cause your hair to grow properly.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Cancer and sickness and diseases that are forming in your body that you are not even aware of, this bread of life will challenge it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your bread. Thank you for the bread of life. As we eat the bread, we are eating Jesus, bringing Jesus right into our bodies. We thank you for the power of communion in the name of Jesus. Say the body of Jesus Christ.
The body of Jesus Christ.
You may eat the bread. Now take the wine. Today we are receiving a kind of blood transfusion.
Amen.
That means any form of anemia, any spiritual anemia, any spiritually anemic condition that is bringing weakness and that is taking vitality out of your Christian life is receiving a treatment today. In the name of Jesus. Father, bless this wine. Let it bring life. This is the blood of Jesus. Let it bring life. The blood of Jesus has always brought life. It's always brought life. It's always taken away sins and evil. And has always brought regeneration and life. Let it do so this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Say the blood of Jesus Christ.
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 You may drink it. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross.
everybody, and let's pray. Father, we thank you for such an encounter with the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We believe, Lord, that the body and blood of Jesus Christ still do today what they did 2,000 years ago. It still heals. It still delivers. It still cleanses from sin. And so today we declare our freedom.
Amen.
From sin and all forms of evil that come between us and you. May your people be separated unto holiness. May your people be granted grace to live holy lives that please you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing today. In Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.